Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
And you know what that means. Of course, the hurricane has been here. And the hurricane will be here the rest of the week, too.
But Paul now Kaharski. It's officially my hour.
That's right. Officially, you're our Paul Kaharski, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. In for Robbie Stanley today, tomorrow, and Friday. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So we got a lot of reaction in various forums about various things going on right now. We got some Jared haters, some Jared lovers. You know, one thing that I was thinking about when you brought up the conspiracy theory with Terrell Williams, who, by the way, that is a good pickup for the Detroit Lions, Terrell Williams. I did not call Jared out enough for, you know, when John Robinson was fired, he was pushing the what happened on the plane, right? You know, and I mean, I think any of us involved in that probably quickly figured out that was not a thing. You know, I mean, obviously, we know what happened with Todd Downing after the plane, all that stuff. But, you know, John Robinson was fired for performance issues and all that. So it was quickly, right, like in the moment, it's like anything could be possible. And then you figure out what's real. And he pushed that for weeks. Just to get me to, like, scream about it. Like, Jared, you can't be serious. Or he's like, Rick Spielman's a former GM, and he said it could have been. Yeah, whatever, right? And then I heard
former GMs have so much power with Jared. It's interesting because former GMs never get rehired as GMs.
Well, that's fair too. But
they have no power in the league, but huge power, Jared.
Well, but the point being, like, why would he have any idea what happened on some team plane anyway? But then, not long ago, he said he was talking to somebody else. He's like, yeah, I mean, you knew like a couple days after that wasn't that. I'm like, well, you spent weeks pushing that. So again, that's an intentional pushing of buttons to foster angry conversation. One texter says, let's be honest, besides live sports being live sports, most shows on sports channels that involve talking heads suck. But you like pardon
that's
the interruption.
Fair. Pardon the interruption is excellent, and that's the origin. And why – this is a great question. Why, when that was as successful as it was, Around the Horn stunk from the beginning. Those were the two shows that they put out. Did they not look at that and say, let's model the good one? No, nobody did anything with Around the Horn, so let Around the Horn exist. At least you're getting a taste of different opinions from around the country, even though the scoring thing is a very stupid concept. They should have modified it. But around the horn, all right, here are two journalist friends having conversation. Let's model that. And we could do six versions of that show. That would be great. No, instead of doing that, we're going to get screaming idiots who have takes that they don't believe in, and we're going to find two sides to every issue, even though in a lot of instances there aren't. So instead of having two guys discuss that bad call and how we can improve all the ways the league is botching, officiating, and the things
someone
that
has to say it's a good
somebody
call.
Somebody has to be right. On both sides of the call.
Right. Someone has
That's
to say it's a good
major
call.
Yeah. Fail by ESPN and the networks, Fox, who follows ESPN's lead. People would watch three other versions of PTI, and you could find in multiple newsrooms at the time a Kornheiser-Wilbon dynamic. They found the best one. I love those guys. I disagree with Wilbon a lot more than I disagree with Kornheiser, who's more in my alley. But you could go to a lot of newsrooms at that time and find a similar combination of columnists or sports writers. Yet, they didn't build on the best thing that they have going. And I agree with the caller. Virtually everything else that's a show stinks.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So Skip Bayless, be interesting to see where that goes. I remember Skip Bayless. Actually, he had a brief stint as a sports columnist in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I will say, there is certainly a lot genuine about what he does, because my goodness, some of the hot takes he wrote for the Chicago Tribune. I mean, just like hot, uninformed takes. I was like, who the heck is this dude?
I think he brought his girlfriend to the press box the year the Oilers played at Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah?
Brought his girlfriend.
Okay.
Teeny tiny shorts, teeny tiny running shorts wore to Raiders, Cowboys practices in outside Austin.
That's tremendous recall by you, and we still haven't figured out what did Tavondre Sweat. Did anybody figure that out for us? I figured someone would like send that to us. I am going to nail this down, because he did. He said something about being in the Hall of Fame on draft night.
I'm surprised Zach Lyons hasn't immediately presented that to us. Come on,
yeah,
Zach.
Exactly. Yeah, here you go. Here you go. If he can get his weight down to 355, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. That's what he said. He said that night.
Well, that's still not a quote, because it would be, if I could get my weight down.
Okay. Here we go. Quote, if I go to 355, 350, most likely I'm going to be a Hall of Famer. That is a quote, end quote. That's a quote.
Bookmark that, so in the press room we won't have to go on another search for it when we need it.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so I'm actually going to stick with the defensive line, PK, and gosh, we're already – I mean, what do I do? Do I just ramble on, or does PK just ramble on? We almost need to take another break.
Let's debate something.
Yeah. let's scream about the plane from Green Bay. Okay, well, let's start this, and then we'll pick it back up. So
we can do that.
Jeffrey Simmons – how big is this season for Jeffrey Simmons in your mind? And where is he as a player in this league?
He's not where he thinks he is as a player in this league. And he's not where I don't know where Callahan and Ben Bloom think he is. I know what they think he can be. I know what the previous staff thought. And look, he's not lived up to expectations the last 2 years. He's had his moments. The injuries have slowed him down and hurt him. But when Danico Autry was not beside him, when Danico Autry was hurt, he was not the player that he's fessed up to be. And there are a lot of interior defensive linemen who rate ahead of him at this stage. Can be a dominant player.
A lot. A lot. What's a lot?
10, 12.
Mm. Yeah?
8.
Okay. Can you name them?
Dexter Lawrence, the
Chris Jones is obviously at the top
Chris
of the
Jones, Brown. I'm not going to do a good job listing him. I can call up a list and do a better job of listing him.
So you think he's potentially not even a top 10 D tackle in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I think he's right around 10.
Okay.
In terms of production, and I think injuries have been a big key to it. But I think since he signed the contract, he's not lived up to the contract. I like Terrell Williams. I didn't like Terrell Williams' answer about Jeff Simmons double teamed, who made it sound like when Jeff Simmons was double teamed, he didn't have a chance to influence plays beyond drawing the double team, when all of these good defensive interior players are double teamed regularly and still wreak some form of havoc. And I think you have it on the list here. We're going to talk a little bit about his tweeting last week.
Yeah, we'll get into that next. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie Rextro, Paul Kuharski in for Robbie here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Zach from Nashville, by the way, he did jump in here on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, PK. With the 355, he reminded us of that. Also, what's proper attire at summer training camp? I'll have to look at this. I've also forgot, I missed Zach earlier at the Choice Is Yours, his answer. For annoying quality, loud chewer and makes iced coffee like she's a bowl in a china shop. So there you go.
Don't miss Zach's answers. He's a very good voice on the show.
Thank you for having the people courage.
Comparable. I'm saying Jeff Simmons is in this bunch or behind some of these guys. DeForest Buckner, Jalen Carter, Quinnen Williams. DJ Reader, Derek Brown, I mentioned, I think, Vita Vea. I mean, Leonard Williams. There's a big
bunch of different kinds of good defensive tackles
that he's bunched with. I don't think he's distinguished himself from a lot of those guys. And that's fine. That's not bad to be in a bunch of those guys. You know, I think he's due for a big season. I have no reason to expect he's not going to have a big season. I think he needs Sweat to be a presence next to him. If he's playing next to Marlon Davidson, that's going to hurt him.
Well, yeah, he's going to miss Danico Autry. I'm generally with you. I think he's a very good player. At times, I think is a great player. I think production, can be overused, I guess, with that position. You can be a dominant player and not have a lot to show for it statistically. But I do think that the injury that he did play through, by the way, through the latter stages of 2022, that obviously affected that season. That we could all agree with that. Did it have a lingering effect? I don't know. But I think that he has the potential to, as long as he's all good there, to be a game-wrecking kind of player. I'm with you. That's why Sweat to me is so important. If Sweat is what they thought they were getting when they drafted him, and he can be on the field a lot with Jeff, then I think that could be a really
effective
combo. And in a different way than Danico Autry. Autry, a very versatile guy. Move him around, heck of a player, heck of a football player. But Sweat, at his best, at what you hope he is a guy who dominates space and just makes it really hard to deal with both of those guys. I think that's the vision, right? Now, as far as Simmons, last week, we talked a little bit about yesterday with TD, and we talked about last week when it happened. They signed Jamal Adams. And then Jeff gets on Twitter and is really upset and talking about, I guess I need to find the tweet, but he's talking about media in the locker room, like trying to be friends and all this stuff. And then they turn around. He said a 360, meaning a 180, and I guess rip the team, which, again,
keeping receipts.
For one thing, keeping receipts, but it's like keeping receipts like on what? I still don't understand.
Us stating that he's missed, Jamal Adams has missed 24 of his last 39 games. So stating facts about Jamal Adams, and Jeff doesn't like those facts, and he's keeping receipts. And I'm very confused by Jeff. And I have to say, if you want – people expect me to be honest. And people don't care about media stuff. And I get that. Jeffrey Simmons, as a face of the franchise guy, has the least understanding of how media works as anybody who's ever been a face of the franchise or a top leader. The PR department has absolutely failed him. I don't think there's anybody that can now sit down with him and explain to him as more of the face of the franchise than he's ever been with Derrick Henry gone and before Will Levis emerges, what it means to endure criticism or to watch somebody say that Jamal Adams has missed 24 of his last 39 games and not take that somehow as a slight of the Titans.
Is that you? Is that you who tweeted that?
I tweeted stuff about how many games Jamal Adams missed. If he's reacting to me, he's reacting to facts about Jamal Adams. I don't know who he's reacting to.
That's another thing.
If you're going to react, react to someone. These big, vague things that he says. I mean, if he comes
after me,
I don't know who he subtweeted. But do you want to address someone or do you want to vaguely call out the press corps? Jeff Simmons was accused of spitting on a Baltimore Ravens guy and took offense to being asked about it. Jeff Simmons was accused of fighting with a Buffalo Bills guy in the tunnel and took offense to being asked about it and thinks that those are somehow personal slights. If somebody says something offensive about you, you're being given
you
a chance to answer to
right,
it. And he doesn't get that at all. He thinks that's some kind of slight that you would dare ask him about an accusation made by somebody. That is not my problem. That is not your problem. That is not a media problem. That is a Jeff Simmons problem. That is a Titans PR failing to educate Jeff Simmons problem. Period. I don't care what any fan out there says. I don't care how much you bow down, kowtow, kiss Jeff Simmons's shoes, and love Jeff Simmons. That is a fundamental misunderstanding of how things work. If you, Joe Q Public, were accused of spitting on a guy, I would come and ask you your reaction to the accusation of spitting on a guy. That's my obligation. Now, nobody else, by the way, went to Jeff Simmons and asked him about that because everybody's scared of Jeff Simmons in a situation like that, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So I hear everything you're saying. I'm not sure I totally buy the PR failing him. I mean, I guess, like, what is the better media training?
Well, when a guy comes in, you educate him about what the media does. He's expecting us all to be cheerleaders. You guys come in there and they're all nice to us, but then you predict that we won't do well. Well, you guys have lost a lot of games, Jeff. Like, you want me in there with pom-? I'll come in there with pom-poms if that'll make you
happy.
It
says home and away, all in the locker room, smiling and trying to make friends with the guys. But get on here and hit, again, 360.
I'm not trying to make friends, Jeff.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I
can't believe he's talking about you because you – it's not like you're walking around.
I'm not speaking to him as if that's to me. I'm speaking on behalf of the media. Now, some of them are trying to make friends with you, and they're bad at their job. But the rest of us who are good at our jobs are not trying to make friends with you. We're trying to get information and have a conversation with you where you help us understand what's going on with you and the team, and we can report it accurately.
And by the way, let me just...
Which is where you shouldn't be offended if I ask you about a guy accusing you of spitting on you.
Yeah, I think in those situations, like if you didn't do it, then you are eager to talk about it, right? And if you did do it, then you're ticked off that it gets brought up, right? I mean, I think that's generally how it goes. Yeah.
But you wouldn't be pissed off at me. You'd be pissed off at the guy who accused you of spitting him.
Well, that's fair too. But I get, like, yeah, how much does this apply to, like, Jeff's season, Jeff's status in the locker room? I don't know that it means much. I mean, it's tweets, and I'm with you. Hey, I'd love Jeff to tweet at you directly or at Stilly or whatever. He blocked Stilly. Did he block you?
Oh, I have no idea.
Why don't you check it out? At GrindSimmons94. I mean, he blocked Stilly. And if he didn't block you, then I guess he's okay with you. I don't know. But, yeah, look, if it's not okay to, like,
how
say,
is he going to monitor what to be upset with if he's blocking people?
The thing is, you know, Jeff is – I enjoy Jeff. Jeff is, I think, good, even if sometimes his answers, you know, maybe
– I am not blocked.
Okay. So, I don't know. But the thing is, it's not like Stilly's in the locker room. He came one time last year, so I –
Jeff Simmons, I guarantee you, could not pick. Jeff Simmons could not pick Jared Stillman out of a lineup.
But he blocked him.
That's fine. But he couldn't pick him out of a lineup. So in terms of Stilly being accountable to Jeff Simmons, there's no accountability.
We're talking about like argument shows today. I'd love to see a you and Jeff and Stilly round table of yelling.
How many people in the Titans locker room know who Jared Stillman is by face?
I have no clue.
Very few.
he did. Again, he came in last year, and I was like, oh, Jared came to the locker room. But then he just kind of
stands around.
He hung out with us, yeah. So, but all right, well, so is this a problem or not? Is this concerning? I mean, I don't care about if Jeff's mad at media, but is it concerning in terms of him as a face of the franchise, him as a leader of this team and all that, or is this just dumb media stuff? We'll try to answer that question next. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie Stanley.
Read that one tweet.
For the rest of the week.
For that one.
We read that one comment. Well, first of all, Zach points out, we'll get into this, but that Jeff did block Mike Herndon. So the blockees were Jared Stillman and Mike Herndon. So I don't think he's got beef with you.
That's a badge of honor for Stilly.
Right. Oh, he loves it. Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
I'm dying to be blocked. I hope they all block.
But Herndon, that's interesting. But
I'm going to block them.
But here's the thing. Mike Herndon, absolutely.
Whose column is coming at paulkuharski.com shortly.
Yep. We love Mike Herndon, friend of the show. And he did have a series of tweets after they signed Jamal Adams, basically dunking on it. Like, you know, showing some receipts of why Jamal Adams is a diminished player from what he was several years ago. And I could see, you know, like if you're Jeff Simmons, clearly pays attention to social media. I'm sure he would come across Mike's account. I mean, he tweets a lot about the Titans, writes a lot about the Titans. And so Jeff doesn't know, in that locker room, there's 12, 15 of us at a time crowded around him, right? He doesn't know who's talking, right? I mean, he can pick out a few people, but for the most part, it's just nameless, faceless media folks walking around. So he probably just confused Herndon with, like, one of those people. Because Herndon isn't in the locker room much, if at all, right?
No, very, very rarely. Mike Herndon
comes
to
practice.
Texas
he comes, now. Yeah. Oh, does he?
Yeah. But listen,
horns down, horns down, Herndon.
Here's the thing. I just think it's such a fundamental misunderstanding because Mike Herndon's tweets are all fact based.
Well,
and so
I'm
sure he's
there's nothing wrong with what he tweeted.
Factual stuff about Jamal Adams, and so that Jeffrey Simmons would be so put off by facts rather than opinion. I could see. I didn't see what Stilly tweeted, but I know how Stilly tweets. And Stilly would have tweeted, terrible signing, blah, 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 I presume. So
pretty,
I could see Jeff Simmons having an objection to strongly opinionated tweets. Mike Herndon tweets fact-based stuff that he might then have an opinion on. And for Jeff to get ruffled by facts, this is not the first time that we would have seen that. Jeff is ruffled by them having a bad record. Jeff is ruffled by them having a bad roster. And that, to me, just – I have leadership questions about that.
Okay. Someone says, remind PK that Jeff Simmons has had better production than Dexter Lawrence in his career. Also, Lenny says, is there any Titan that Paul likes and thinks will be really good? Anyone you like?
I think Snead's going to be really good. I really like Awuzie. I'm rooting for Will Levis because I like him. on a personal level. And I like the best characteristics of his game. I have an immense degree of professional respect for DeAndre Hopkins, who I dare say, and you can confirm this from what you've seen or not, have developed a little bit of a personal relationship with, where I talk to him off on the side on days that he doesn't talk to the media.
He's good.
BSing with him.
I mean,
about
he shouldn't
stuff.
Talk to you, but he's good. Yeah, I like him. He's funny.
And that's just a handful.
He gets it. There's a thing of getting it. And again, I have a hard time translating this to football. There's plenty of guys who are great players in pro sports who hate media and don't get it and don't like it. I mean, whatever. I'd love for us to be like essential in every part of the process, but the reality is, like, you can go about your business like this, and as long as you're accountable to your team and you're you perform that, then okay. Like, ultimately, at some point, like, we don't matter that much.
And there are others in media who want to be friends with these guys. I want it to be clear. I'm not looking for friendship. I'm looking for a professional relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty clear line. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think there's, you know, it's like you can be cool. So, again, like you and Hopkins have some fun little conversations. There's plenty of people I've covered over the years where you naturally, organically get to like someone and you have a good rapport, but then there's still the, like, it's always the thing of like, okay, but if you get arrested, I'm writing it tomorrow.
Right.
So I don't care how much you like me or think I like you. That's happening. As long as that's understood.
Yeah. Or if you get turned around five times and don't find the ball.
Right.
That's going to be the story.
Someone said, Joel says, I thought Stilly showed up a lot and hounded Vrabel about Fire Rockman. Yeah, Stilly shows up to – he does – and I give him credit. He goes to a lot of practices, goes to the pressers. The locker room, though, you know, where the players' environment, where you talk to them.
And gain some understanding of how a locker room works.
Yeah, not – He does not have a place that he frequents.
Place he – quite frankly, if you got truth serum in him, would admit he fears.
Now I'm getting – this threw me for a loop. Austin says, any more news on the Simmons and Diggs front? And he means Justin. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened with Jeff? Now Simmons is mad at Diggs? No. You know,
here's the thing.
We talked about this earlier.
I wrote this piece yesterday at 3 o'clock and said that they had talked to Simmons, who's too expensive, and also checked in on Diggs. 3 o'clock yesterday. Any more news on Simmons and Diggs? It's not an ongoing conversation. It's not something that's going to happen. Yeah, they're going to start camp. Simmons is going to see if somebody will sign him to the expense. This is not going to be an hour-by-hour check-in thing. Yeah. And people have to chill.
I mean, Simmons clearly, Justin, we've now moved on from Jeff to Justin, at least for a moment.
Yeah.
He clearly has a higher price tag than anybody else wants to get into right now. And I talked about this yesterday with TD on here. It's like, hey, you're not rooting for somebody to get hurt, but you know somebody's going to get hurt, and somebody's going to be more desperate for you than they are now, and you might get closer to that price tag than anybody's willing to do at this point. Sounds to me like Justin Simmons is a pipe dream, but maybe a Quandre Diggs or somebody else could be in play for the Titans. And I think that another safety ad would be a smart move. Wes in Clarksville says, Jeff needs to worry about his football performance. For most part, Big Jeff was a no-show last year. Keep his butt off social media. Again, I don't know that he was a no-show, but he wasn't a great player who was clearly top 2, 3, 4 at his position in the NFL, and that is – yeah, that's what he's getting paid for. I don't know actually where he is on the pecking order of pay.
It's
D
not
tackle,
as high,
but
it's
down.
You know,
it's down now
because he had his turn
at
the top.
People keep getting their turns, right? Someone says we knew Paul likes the loser Levis. He can't be objective about him.
Can't be objective about him.
I don't know, man.
You go back and read the 8 games worth of stuff that I wrote about him, and you'll find that when he threw 4 touchdowns against Atlanta, I wrote very well about him. And when he had the big comeback against Miami, I wrote very well about him. And I bet the other 6 games I wasn't raving about.
Alex Shirley says Jeff Simmons is talking about you two, you know. Yeah, I don't think so. Again, I think that maybe the two who were blocked is really what it's about. But the point is, it's like, I do agree in general with the sentiment, not that he was a no-show last year, but the sentiment that it's just not worth your time to worry too much. But it's the off season. He gets on Twitter, he's excited, you know, like, let Rand cook or whatever he tweeted. You know, that's fine. It's not like the idea that everybody has to be, every move you make and everything you do must be applauded and celebrated.
Parade.
Yeah.
It's parade.
It's kind of a waste of your time, but it is the offseason. Dylan, I forget this. Dylan says Stilly getting mad about Hopkins getting his hair done in the locker room was the dumbest thing ever. Remind me of that. Yeah,
so
Keyser
Hopkins
remembers.
One time, instead of making us wait for his haircut on Friday,
talked to us
while he had his haircut. Now, Jared found this very disrespectful.
Who gives a crap?
Jared, who's not there doing the interview. Okay? We would have preferred to talk to him while he was getting his haircut than waiting for him after his haircut. Now, we'd prefer he talk to us before he gets his haircut. But who is Jared to have a concern with it? It's our interview. If you want to be offended by the interview, come be part of the interview.
I forget.
Let us worry about.
We need a site. Can someone just start a site or like a gathering point to keep all these takes together? I forget them. And then I'm like, I know that there's something really, you know, that I need to bring up in a certain moment, and then I forget it. Like, thank you for bringing that one up.
Should we just call it Tuntas.com?
It's like
there probably already is one.
It's like when people, you know, would tweet beef for Vrabel's interactions with me. And I'd be like, look, if I'm okay with it, you don't have to worry on my behalf.
Right.
Like, if I'm fine with Vrabel, you know. And there were times I wasn't, and I made it clear. But if I didn't have a problem with today's interaction with Vrabel, don't waste your energy having a problem on my behalf.
Well, and the problems on your behalf are get way more when things aren't going well. And the problems again, you know, with you are way more severe when the team's doing well. Yes. We know that to be true. All right, we're going to wrap it up when we come back. Robbie and Rex Strode, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Final segment here, Robbie and Rex Strode, Wednesday edition. Joe Rex Strode here with Paul Kuharski in for Robbie Stanley. Nick Keyser producing. Intern Colin has not had his name butchered one time today, I don't believe. So that's a win. I butchered the name. I said Colin, right? Stop it. I did butcher the name of the day of the week earlier in the show, but not
right out of the
his name. Yeah. So what about the idea, Paul, that Jeff Simmons is standing up for a new teammate? However he goes about it, you may disagree with his perception of it. But he's coming out standing up for a new teammate. Would you not consider that if you're in that locker room, would you not consider that some level of demonstrating leadership?
Your new teammate has missed 24 of 39 games. It's a fact. How are you standing up for him, like saying that that's like some attack on him? It's a fact. It's not an attack. It's not an attack on Jamal Adams
to say he's not
a great coverage.
I understand.
I don't understand how he doesn't understand.
Well, sure. I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying, in general, the idea of, okay, someone's taking a shot in some way. Again, even if the shot is totally validated, and I'm going to say something about it. Is that not some form of leadership?
It's some form of leadership if he is responding to something precise instead of something broad.
Okay. So
he went after the whole media.
Don't subtweet.
He went after the whole media when he was responding to something specific. Then he blocks two specific guys.
Hasn't he done – he's gotten into – I mean, you and he have gone back and forth on Twitter, right?
A couple times.
Yeah, I wonder
– I prefer that. Come at me if you've got
I agree. It should be like, okay, here, you – I have a problem with what you said. Let's talk about it as opposed to, putting it on the whole press corps.
And now – And now, here's what'll happen.
Okay.
The first time he talks, nobody will ask him about this. It'll fall to me, and I'll be the bad guy, and I'll get the sour answer, and I'll get the lecture about how the media.
I'll do it.
I'd love for you to do it.
Okay.
I could name 15 people who will not do it.
Jeff, what about Trey Avery? No, yeah, I'll ask.
We get a Trey Avery in virtually every show. We need the audio of the Trey. Can we have the audio of the Trey Avery this week, please?
That would be great. But you have to have the back end of, like, Vrabel is
turning away,
pouring his heart out.
Yeah, the front end and back end.
Yes, and then, it just sucks, Gentry. He goes back to it. Oh, my gosh, amazing. No, I'll ask Jeff. What do you want me to ask Jeff? Jeff, who in the media is trying to be a friend with you and is ripping your teammates? You tell me how to phrase it. I'll ask him.
What was your tweet about? Who was it directed at? Then after the answer, then that follow-up.
Okay.
Who do you feel is trying to be your friend?
I'll ask it, since you always falsely claim that you're the only one who asks anybody any tough questions, which is total BS.
75%.
Okay. Sure thing.
And it's not just that, Joe. It's the fact that there are some people in there who you know would never, ever touch it.
There's some people.
Cut the mics off. I'll give them the list of names.
No, there's some people in every press corps, Paul, that are non-confrontational. That's okay. Fine.
That's not a confrontational question. It's a necessary question.
Sure. But the point
being, it's a story of the day question.
You existing in any press corps, you're going to be, why worry about it? I mean, as long as
it's annoying.
Okay, but if you were the only one truly, again, this Stilly says he's the same thing. It's funny
how Stilly's never been at a Jeff Simmons press conference in his life.
But he goes to Vrabel press conferences, and it's Vrabel's no longer the coach. Who would have asked this or whatever? He goes to GM and coach press conferences and asks questions, wow. And he has some good ones.
Sometimes, okay. And sometimes he goes there.
So both of you should back up and stop pretending that you're the only ones who ask. I mean. Now, I'm not even going to get into it because I hate to get into this crap with you guys. You know, in Kansas City, who asked Malarkey about his job? Did. It was me. It wasn't you.
Okay.
Do I whine about it? Do I cry about it? No.
One good example. Look, my stuff, this is a fact, is more heavily policed by them than anybody.
Your stuff is more heavily policed? What do you mean?
I had a conversation with Vrabel last year where I had tweeted something about a practice formation that I shouldn't have tweeted, that I took down. And then I said, this is in three podcasts that I've listened to already, and it was tweeted out by several other people. And he said, who? I said, well, I'm not policing the media, but you found mine, so go find theirs. He said, well, we don't have time to sort through everything. I said, well, you found mine.
Name names. Who was it?
Well, now I'll name names. It's A to Z. It was Braden Gall. It was a whole bunch of people.
I got you naming
names. They're not following them as closely as they're following me, apparently.
So
I that's
understand.
BS.
Well, look, yeah. I mean, I'm not disputing that you ticked them off more than anybody. You and Stilly. Again, we keep coming back to Stilly and Paulie. There are these parallels.
You keep grouping me with him as if we do the same thing.
I'm not saying you do, but I'm just saying there are some parallels.
Yeah.
Yes, you.
I don't go at them with conspiracy theories. Let's make that clear.
Again, I'm not saying it's everything exactly the same, but you guys.
I don't like being grouped with him. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Well, okay, but the confrontational and, to me, at times performative aspects of some questions, you know, that ticks people off.
Yeah, I need to be less performative, for sure. That's not my intention. That just goes sometimes.
Well, yeah.
But I am conscious of it.
Okay.
In as a negative in my style.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think for the most part, it's just that you get into a back and forth, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with, like, someone gives you an answer that's not satisfactory, and you come right back at them. I think that's fine. You know, sometimes it gets a little out of hand. I mean, look, some people don't like you. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's life.
I'm good with that.
This has turned into quite a You know, we're really like, yeah, it's kind of like a session here on the couch.
Yeah.
Someone brought up, we were talking about Bayless earlier, the sports reporters.
Sports reporters was excellent.
That show's been off the air for like 7 years.
Yeah.
I did not realize.
Well, they
got
rid of everything.
Is that when John Saunders passed away? Because, is that right?
It might have been. But they got rid of, you know, that whole investigative, what was the
show?
That's
the biggest, to me, travesty of all of it. Is that Outside the Lines was really
journalistic.
Good. They did really, And I don't think it was as good for the most part as another show, which, by the way, is gone, which is Bryant Gumbel's HBO
Real Sports.
Real Sports. I think they did probably some better investigative work than Outside Lines. But Outside Lines had a lot of really good stuff.
But why did Real Sports end?
I'm not sure, but I think with all of it, as you said earlier, where do the eyeballs go, and what do people like? They like the screaming, as opposed to the right. substantive, reported, like really in depth stuff that is actually can make a difference.
But that was producing headlines for HBO on a regular basis, whether it drew eyeballs. There's stuff on HBO that doesn't draw great eyeballs. That's still good. Niche-y.
I may be grouping it inaccurately, but it strikes me as there are two examples of like good sports television that has substance that are both gone. And maybe the HBO, I don't know, maybe it just had to do with Bryant Gumbel wanting to hang it up, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think that might have been part of it. But
regardless,
been
like
replaced.
We're worse off for losing those shows and then having the rewards be so great for screaming. And again, I'm a person who screams every Wednesday from 5 to 5:30. Check out. But not today. So I guess Jared versus
today?
Well, Jared's on vacation. I guess Jared versus Joe will continue next week. We'll return
Who's
next week.
Who's replacing so Jared this evening?
I don't know. I mean, if anybody
Nicholas?
Wants.
Nicholas?
You want to?
It's Adam and Jake are in for him today.
Adam,
I think we'll put it on pause, especially on a day that we complained about yelling shows. You know, we'll stand down.
I think he should call in from vacation. Where is he vacationing?
Well, he did. You know that he did call in on Friday.
I know where he is.
Yeah, where is he?
The Bahamas. He's in Nassau.
He's in Nassau. Okay.
Yeah.
So he called in Friday though. He was so mad about the Jamal Adams signing. He texted Robbie. He's like, "No, I'm coming on, man. I'm coming on from vacation just to yell about the Jamal Adams
signing."
How could
you be that mad about a $1.125 million signing of a guy that, you know, could be a bit player?
That was my whole initial reaction, is like the excitement about this. No, guys, like, it's been years since he's been a very good player who's even able to stay healthy. But yeah, the anger about it also, why? Like, what is it? What's the cost here?
I want people mad this weekend.
Yes, exactly. So, all right. What, anything else we need to get into, Paul?
I was just about to post my position by position depth rankings for the Titans.
Okay.
Before I left for a ball game in suburban Atlanta, and I decided I'm going to wait until I get back. And I got in the car, and TD posted that they signed Jamal.
TD
Adams.
Broke the story, Jamal Adams. Yep.
And I was like, well, that would have stunk because. I mean, I could have gotten in and rewritten it, but I would have been doing it on my phone, which is a huge hassle compared to the laptop. So I was very thankful that I did not post that before I went to see.
Okay, and you have posted it now.
Yeah.
Do you have you got a 53? You got a 53 coming?
No.
No?
I mean, I might do a 53 before. I don't know. Everybody does it. So
everybody
I
does
try
it.
Not to do something that everybody does.
Right. I'm with
you. You're going to do it.
I don't think I'm going to do
You'll
it.
You'll do it.
You think so?
Your bosses will ask for it.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything, so I'm thinking maybe we'll be okay. But there will be some 53s. People like the 53s. And the thing about the 53 that I do like is when you go through it, you kind of remind yourself of some of the – you know what I mean? It's a good exercise.
Refresher.
It's a good exercise. Yeah, that's right.
Joe doesn't know the roster is what he's saying.
Basically. All right, so Big Joe and Chase.
Both of them?
The suit is back.
Wow.
Coming up next. And we will be back tomorrow here, 102.5, 106.3.
Don't lock the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.